John McClain is with us, brought to you by Horn Solutions. We are less than 1 month away from Texans training camp. July 25th is when all the festivities begin. John, what are you most excited about when training camp begins?
This is not a question that I would have about camp, and there are a lot of questions that I will have. And I'm writing this Sunday about, I just think Deshaun Watson is going to have a great season, where he's going to go from last season when he was really good, you know, to complete 68%, throw for over 4,000 yards, throw for 26 touchdowns, run for 5, single-digit interceptions, his rating 103 is in the top 6. Without his second and third receiver for 19 games, with that offensive line, with Miller missing 2.5 games, with Foreman not doing anything, it seems if just half of the things I just mentioned are improved, he can be even better. And, of course, playing with a collapsed lung and a broken rib. But I, after talking to the coaches and people over there about not just the kind of offseason he had on the field, just with accuracy and coolness and confidence in the system, but behind the scenes, that he has just, he's taken that next step in the evolution of a starting quarterback, because he's had an entire offseason to focus on the position. And I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to see him in Green Bay. Now, they're not going to be hitting him, but they will be covering him, covering his receivers. And then, of course, I don't think we'll see him play much in the preseason, but I can't wait to watch the evolution of Deshaun Watson, and I think he's going to be right up there with the elite quarterbacks.
I agree with you, and as weird as our overall situation is here with the firing of Gain and this Easterby deal and Nick Caserio, when I'm out there for OTAs in the minicamp, you look out there, and Deshaun Watson is now in year 2 after the ACL recovery, which is usually, that's when you're fully at 100%. He's in year 3. I imagine he knows the system in and out as much as you can as you, in year 3 of a quarterback. Like, it's hard not to be optimistic when you just think about having Deshaun Watson as the quarterback.
One of our listeners wants to know if the reason he went to Israel and got rebaptized in the River Jordan was because he's nervous about the offensive line. John, is there any truth to that rumor that our listener just started?
He told me about going on that trip because he loves to travel around the world while he can. You know, he's young, he's single, and that he has does football camps. And when he told me he was going over there to get baptized, I was surprised. It just, of all the things a young guy can do, most of them are going to go over there and chase women and sightsee and eat everything in sight. I thought that said a lot about him.
Interesting. Seth, you have to think about that one.
Said about, like, if the baptism would have precluded doing those other things.
Good point. Baptism eaten. During the day?
He could have definitely done the eating part. Like, unless yeah. As long as he wasn't, like, binging in a slothful fashion or anything. You know what? I'm getting kind of a biblical vibe. Like DeAndre was on that camel earlier. So DeAndre's wandering around the desert, and Deshaun's getting baptized in the Jordan, baptized in the River Jordan.
Yep.
We need JJ to do something biblical now.
What can he do to match that?
Go on an apple diet.
Yes.
Oh, you know, that'd be bad, I suppose.
That'd be like Kawhi Leonard eating an apple with a
fork
and knife.
Did you see why they had a surprise birthday party for his mom, Connie?
4 months early.
4 months early.
That's what JJ does.
During the season, the boys are all split up, but they had the three boys, all the family, all their friends. She walks in, they yell surprise with her husband behind her, and they forget to yell surprise, it's your birthday. But she walks in surprised, like, surprise what? What's everybody doing here? It was a great idea. They just left off a couple of words about your birthday.
She probably immediately, because he's been, it seems like he's spitting out a nephew or a niece like every 3 months all of a sudden. I don't know if he's like, is it one nephew? He just keeps putting out pictures.
I think it's one.
I don't have time to read tweets. I just see pictures and I move on.
It's the same one as Derek's son.
You would assume that maybe, I wonder if she thought like it was a surprise, you know, JJ's having a baby. That was the announcement or
could
something.
Could be a surprise. We've selected a date.
Yeah.
Good points. I want to go back to Watson real quick. John, when you say...
Oh, that's right. They're not married yet.
They're not married yet. Yeah. Is that like a... I actually, real quick before I get back to Watson, it seems to me, based on the people that I know, I'm 33, based on people in my age group, that having the woman being pregnant around the time of marriage, not a big deal anymore.
Right.
It seems like it's not a big deal at all. For example, a wedding that I was invited to that I couldn't go to in Louisiana a few months ago, they announced at the wedding that the girl was pregnant, and she's having the in like September or something like that.
I think we've reached the point where you don't you're not as likely to feel like you have to hide it from the grandparents. It was always the grandparents. Now the grandparents are at the age of like, look, they lived through the 60s. There's a really good chance that your grandma was more promiscuous than you yourself.
Good point.
Like, statistics bear it out that our grandmas were actually more promiscuous as a generation than current, like, Generation Z. Your great grandma was getting it on in the back of a Studebaker. Well, like your current children are playing video games all day long. So there's no need to protect anything from the grandparents anymore.
Very appetizing thought that you throw out there, John.
I mean, she wasn't a grandma at the time.
That's
true. She was a hot young thing.
She was not a grandma at the time. When you say
now the grooming situation was different.
I do not want to think about that.
When I was
say no more.
When I was growing up, if you were divorced, there was a stigma to it. And or
not
somebody
anymore.
Say, there's so and so down the street, she's divorced.
Oh, really?
Or so and so's kids, she's divorced. So and so had to go away to have a baby. You'd see a girl with a little stomach, you'd go, oh my God, is she pregnant? And if you had a tattoo, something was wrong with you. We had a neighbor, he'd been in World War II and he had a couple tattoos, and when he'd mow the yard without his shirt, all the women, including my mother, sure liked to go to the window and watch him and complain about the tattoos while his muscles were glistening in the summer sun.
He's a bad influence. I need him to influence me all over.
John, when you say Deshaun Watson has taken the next step in his evolution, what do you mean by that?
As a quarterback overall, as the mental, and not just the physical part, but the mental part, the thing that the coaches talk about, his grasp of the system, how easily he and Carl Smith have meshed, which says a lot about Watson's personality, but also how smooth Carl Smith is as a quarterback coach, as a teacher, and basically just as a person, and how much he and Watson really hit it off. And just everybody's talking him up. And I'm not interviewing him. I'm just talking to him about different players. And if I had to pick a player on defense like that, it'd be Justin Reed. The thing going into his second year, can imagine how good he's going to be in his third year, but people are just so pumped about him, how much more comfortable he is in the system, how much confidence the coaches, especially Romeo Crennel, have in him.
There's something that's bothering me about Jadeveon Clowney and his situation, which is, let's see, that deadline is before training camp. That's July 15th, deadline for Clowney to get a long-term deal or not. I look at this situation, John, and I look at DeMarcus Lawrence and Frank Clark, two guys who I think are very comparable players to Clowney, and Lawrence got $65 million guaranteed. Frank Clark got $62.5 million. I look at those deals, and I think it should be easier to get a deal done with Clowney if you
should
can pay him that money.
Should be.
It should be, but I think that if you look at the Texans and if they're trying to rip off the Patriots every chance they get, look, Belichick is not notorious. He's just known for not wanting to pay pass rushers because he doesn't think it's a good deal. They'd rather pay on the back end. They'd rather pay for coverage than they would for the pass rush because they feel like it's overrated. They feel like it's overvalued to pay a pass rusher. So the Texans are already paying J.J. Watt a whole bunch of money. And I wonder if it's just as simple as that economically they feel like they need to explore the trade options, and that just like with the Patriots done with numerous guys in the last few years, shoot, half the time they end up getting those guys back at a cheaper rate 2 years later. So I don't know if – I wonder if they know that Clowney's market value is the same as Frank Clark, but they just want to kick the can down the road as long as they can with it because they don't want to actually pay that Frank Clark money.
They've made him multiple offers, and they've not accepted it, and – I think they asked for two number ones for teams that inquired. Nobody was interested in giving two number ones. And I think the reason he's not going to get paid what he wants, and he's not a double-digit sack guy every year. Even Clark has averaged in double figures for the last 3 years. And Lawrence, I think he's at 13. Even though Clowney's great against the run, if you want the big bucks, and you play outside, you better be able to get the quarterback.
I wonder, like, can they even ask for two number ones? I mean, that's if a team wants to give up two number ones, they don't have to ask. That's what the franchise tag does. You can give up two number ones and sign the guy, right? Or do I have the details wrong on
you
that?
You are correct.
No, you can. They didn't give him the exclusive tag. And
they can do that.
So if you're asking for two number ones like Khalil Mack, you're not serious about trading.
That's the way I took it.
Like, it's like, no, like, saying... Like a team doesn't have to get permission to sign him.
They can
for
sign
two first round picks.
They
yeah.
can they can literally not talk to the Texans at all.
Right.
They can sign Clowney to one of these deals and then trade away their two number one picks for Clowney.
Right.
Without any negotiation.
Yeah.
They can just do that
like,
now.
That would be honestly, if they've actually specifically asked that, I'd say that's kind of stupid.
Well, like, I feel the same way, and I feel like John does. If the tech, see, that's the weird part, Seth. You mentioned you know maybe they feel like they want to gauge the trade market. Well, okay, I would respectfully disagree, but I can roll with it if they got some good value, but nobody's giving up two number ones for Clowney. There's no way anybody's actually going to do that.
Of course not. And that had to do with the Chiefs. It was reported that they asked for two when the Chiefs were interested, and they made that deal from Frank Clark after they traded Dee Ford, and nobody's going to do it. And he's not going to get a long-term deal. He's going to be playing under the franchise tag.